Chapter 7. My wives and I froze in place and gaped at the huge stone tower that had emerged from the ground. Thick vines wound their way up its walls, and a large, pointed cupola at the top was covered in thick piles of snow. Smoke billowed from a chimney next to the dome, and I couldn't believe this huge building had just emerged from the ground in front of us.
"Are you coming?"
Rachel shouted out to us from her position at the foot of the tower, and we all trotted along to catch up with her. She held open the door and gestured for us all to enter, and when we were all inside, she let the door slam shut behind us and gasped.
"It's really cold out there."
Rachel led us up and up and up a steep spiraling staircase made of thick slabs of stone, and I had to be careful not to slip in my wet boots. Jessamine held onto the back of my shirt for balance as we climbed, and I really hoped we weren't going to fall backwards. After what seemed like an eternity, we finally reached a narrow wooden door, and the petite blonde princess led us inside. "Wow," I gasped as I tried to catch my breath. "Your Highness, I think you just saved our lives, but I didn't think your tower would have stairs."
"Yes, well, I built them in, although I'm not sure why you'd think you'd know anything about my tower."
Princess Rachel flashed me a tight-lipped smile.
"Let me get you some towels to dry yourselves off with, and you can take off your cloaks and leave them by the fire if you wish."
A roaring fire burned on a small stone hearth, and I walked over to it and rubbed my hands together in the warmth. My wives followed suit, and the four of us removed our sopping outerwear and spread it out in front of the fireplace. Then we all sat down on the floor and removed our boots. I wanted to collapse right then and there in the inviting heat, but I thought it would be rude. So I stood up again and ran my fingers through my soaking wet hair, and I thought it wouldn't have been long before we'd all developed hypothermia. When I looked around the small room, I saw it contained elegant furniture upholstered in various shades of purple and pink. Colorful tapestries with nature scenes adorned the stone walls, and a heavy floral wool rug covered the floor. A large canopy bed with thick amethyst-colored linen sat in one corner, and I would have given a lot to lie down right now. Suddenly, I thought I saw something moving around in the shadows in the corner of the room, and I hoped it wasn't a rat, but when Rachel glanced over at the motion, she didn't pay it any mind. A large bay window gave me the only glimpse of the outside world, although the snow piling up on the windowsill didn't allow for much of a view.
"Thank you so much for inviting us in,"
Jessamine gushed as she rubbed her hands together, but Rachel merely nodded as she handed each of us a thick lavender towel.
"This is so kind of you. Please, sit,"
Rachel said as she gestured toward one of the pink sofas embroidered with pale purple flowers.
"I can bring you something to eat and drink if you'd like. Some food would be wonderful,"
Sienna sighed as she dried her long hair with the towel.
"Although, I don't want to get your furniture wet." "Don't worry, it'll dry quickly in the warmth from the fire,"
Rachel assured us. And then she removed her heavy cloak and put it next to the hearth with our garments. Her blonde hair was wrapped up in a bun on top of her head, and her cheeks were still flushed from the cold. Rachel's tower and golden hair reminded me of a fairy tale from my childhood. But then again, her hair wasn't as long as I would have expected. Its honeyed golden hue was a few shades darker than Sienna's, and I wished I could see Rachel's hair hanging down her back. In any case, there was no doubt the princess was strikingly beautiful. Her huge green eyes were surrounded by thick, dark eyelashes, and a small sprinkling of freckles dotted her rosy cheeks and button nose. Her perfect facial features were completed by a pink rosebud mouth and a dainty chin, and I tried my best not to stare at her. She wore a long lavender dress, and although she couldn't have been more than 5 feet tall, the dress only served to accentuate an hourglass figure with full, round breasts and shapely hips. In a word, the woman was gorgeous. I could tell my wives thought so too, because they kept shooting glances toward the blonde out of the corners of their eyes and looking her up and down. I wasn't surprised this princess was beautiful too, though, and my thoughts couldn't help but turn to the bonding ceremony.
"Joe, are you going to sit?"
Sienna asked, and she raised an eyebrow at me. Yeah, sorry." I realized my wives were now all seated on the embroidered sofa, and I took a seat next to Ariana and ran the towel through my hair. Then I thought I caught a glimpse of something running up the wall out of the corner of my eye, but when I looked again, nothing was there.
I have tea ready, and I baked cookies earlier.
Rachel set down a teapot, 5 mugs, and a plate of chocolate chip cookies on the smooth wooden table that sat between the 2 identical couches.
You bake?
Jessamine asked with a puzzled expression on her face, and I realized I'd never really seen any of my wives cook anything other than by using magic.
Yes, I bake a lot,
Rachel sighed, and she perched on the edge of the sofa opposite the 4 of us.
So...
We've been looking for you, I informed the petite, green-eyed princess, and I tried to make eye contact with her. She looked away, though, and I got the feeling she didn't really want to talk to me.
Sir Vincent sent us,
Ariana explained further as she picked up a cup of steaming tea from the table.
Oh, you spoke with him,
Rachel nodded, and an expression that might have been annoyance flashed briefly across her face.
Yes, Sir Vincent is generally looking for me. He's interested in consulting with me on matters that don't really concern me anymore.
But aren't you a princess?
Jessamine asked, and she furrowed her dark eyebrows.
Why don't you live in your castle?
Jessamine, don't ask her that!
Sienna gently reprimanded her sister-wife, but then she turned her eyes to Rachel.
Although, I'm curious too. What brought you all the way out here? I don't really consider myself a princess anymore,
Rachel muttered, and she tightened her lips into a polite smile, but it faded quickly.
So thank you for coming by, and of course you're welcome to stay as long as you need to warm up. But I'm not sure I'm what you're looking for. Am I Pablo?
I frowned. Pablo? Who the hell was she talking to? The golden blonde princess glanced down at her shoulder, but I couldn't see anything, and I wondered if she'd locked herself inside a tower because she was crazy. Then I looked around, and I saw my wives also had puzzled expressions on their faces.
Anyway, I'm not sure you can just stop being a princess.
Ariana trailed off when she saw the expression on Rachel's face, which was almost stern.
I don't mean to be rude,
the green-eyed princess huffed, and she pursed her lips in a prim expression.
But I'm used to doing whatever I want. I'm very grateful that you saved me out in the snow, of course, and that's why I brought you up here. But I didn't particularly like being found. Honestly, I prefer to be alone with Pablo.
I don't know who Pablo is, but I understand,
Sienna replied as she leaned forward onto her knees.
I used to like to be alone a lot, too, until I married Joe.
So, the 4 of you are married, I take it?
Rachel took a sip of tea, crossed her legs, and looked at us expectantly. Yes, we are, I spoke up, and the golden blonde finally looked me directly in the eyes. We've all gotten married to join our forces to save Fairyland, and because we love each other, of course.
Yes, I've read about this before,
Rachel mused, and her lips curled up into a small smile.
Books from the palace library talk about the hero, the princesses, and the prophecy. I have to be honest, though, and admit it doesn't really interest me. I'm not even sure if it's real. You can marry whoever you like, and I'm not going to judge you for that. But this is my life. And as I said, I like being alone, and I don't see that changing.
But the bonding ceremony is so fun,
Jessamine protested, and she gave the golden blonde a big smile.
And Joe is so amazing. Jessamine, I'm not sure now is the time for this,
Sienna muttered as she shook her head at her dark-haired sister-wife.
That's not even really why we came. But if we want to save Fairyland,
Jessamine pouted,
we're going to need Rachel on our side.
I think we need to save her kingdom first,
Ariana said, and she raised her red eyebrows at Rachel.
Rachel, do you know what's going on around here? Honestly?
The golden blonde shrugged, and she took a bite of one of her cookies.
Part of me wishes you wouldn't even tell me what Sir Vincent had to say, because I would really be happy to abdicate my throne altogether. I care about the people here, of course, but I'm just not really interested in being in charge anymore.
I'm sure being a princess is very hard, I told Rachel, and I tried to flash her my warmest grin. I had to admit I found her independence and hard-to-get attitude intriguing.
You should know, Joe, considering how many princesses you're already married to,
Sienna said as she poked me in the side, and when I looked over at her, she had a big smirk on her face, because my blonde wife always seemed to be able to read my mind when I was thinking about other women.
But yes, Rachel, I do understand how you feel. Sorry, everyone, but there are times I think back to my solitary life. I'm not saying I miss it, because I love being married, but I can understand the appeal. After I left that so-called charming asshole, Rachel, pardon my language, I never thought I'd marry again.
You've been married before?
The golden blonde asked, and she seemed a little more engaged in the conversation now. Then she gently stroked her shoulder a few times, and I wondered again if she was right in the head.
Yes, we all have.
Jessamine nodded solemnly.
I was happily married once before, but it was years ago. Sienna and Ariana, I don't want to speak for you, but it's my understanding your marriages weren't quite as good as mine was with Ali. Did you have a happy marriage, Rachel?
Listen, I don't know you that well.
The freckled princess replied with a blank expression on her face.
I'm sure you mean well, but I never really intended to get into this sort of discussion with you.
You're certainly not obligated to talk about your past, I assured her. This is my first marriage, well, and my second and my third, and it's been very positive for me, but I know everyone's experience is different.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
Rachel looked away from us and sipped her tea before she changed the subject.
Anyway, I already know what's going on in my kingdom, and I'm not sure there's anything I can do to help. My army should be able to handle everything. Sir Vincent is more than capable, and I'm sure they're just fine without me.
Your Highness, when was the last time you left this tower?
Sienna asked in a gentle tone.
Well, you just saw me out there in the snow.
The golden blonde princess practically retorted.
I'm not a complete hermit, but I'm not sure how my habits even concern any of you.
Sir Vincent sent for us from across the sea to come help you.
Ariana explained to Rachel with a shrug.
I don't think he would have done that if things weren't dire.
Princess Rachel, things aren't great out there, I informed her. Even if you don't take into consideration the animals and the troubles your sailors have been having. Although we did defeat Eudora.
You killed Eudora?
Rachel widened her eyes, and she actually looked a little impressed.
Where have you been on your travels exactly?
We spent quite a while in Ariana's undersea kingdom. Ariana's a mermaid, and while we were there, yes, we did kill Eudora.
Sienna replied, and she raised an eyebrow at Rachel.
I hope that tells you at least a little bit about what we've been doing.
You're a mermaid?
Rachel asked Ariana. And when the redhead nodded, the golden-haired princess pursed her lips.
Your magic must be very strong if you can transform yourself into a human form.
It is very strong magic,
Jessamine cut in with a nod.
In fact, all of our magic is stronger now that we're married to Joe. I wish you'd consider joining.
Jessamine, like I said, now isn't the time.
Sienna put her hand on her dark-haired sister wife's knee, and then she smiled at Rachel.
We need to give Princess Rachel the space she needs right now. All I'm saying is maybe she'd be convinced Joe is the hero if she touched his hand and felt the sparks, the way you did, Sienna.
Jessamine persisted.
Touch Joe?
The golden-haired princess scoffed, and her lips curled into a frown.
Listen, Joe, you're a very good-looking man, but please, I don't want to talk about this anymore. You don't either, Pablo, do you?
Okay, but in any case, that's fine, I assured her as I raised my hands. No one wants to pressure you into anything. I think it's just that we were specifically brought here to help you, so we want to do whatever we can.
Was Vincent sending communications in my name again?
Rachel sighed.
That wouldn't be the first time he's done that. I have to admit, I'm not crazy about it.
Listen, Princess Rachel,
Sienna began, and she stared the golden blonde directly in the eyes.
I don't mean to be too blunt, but everyone in your kingdom looks so poor and unhappy. We were almost mauled by a zombie bear, and all the animals here, it just seems like there's something wrong with them. Vincent mentioned Gertha, the witch, and he believes she's cursed all the children in the kingdom.
Gertha?
Rachel repeated, and her emerald eyes finally darkened with concern.
Oh, I haven't heard that name in a while. What's going on with the children?
If I understand correctly, they're under some sort of sleeping spell,
Ariana said as she leaned forward and gazed at the golden blonde.
Their parents can't get them to wake up, and everyone seems totally devastated. When we walked through villages, there were no children playing, and there were no babies in their mother's arms. Everyone is really, really sad.
That does sound sad,
the freckled princess murmured, and the corners of her lips turned down.
I do have a soft spot for children. I was an orphan myself, and I never knew my parents growing up. So I can certainly sympathize with an unhappy childhood, and I wish that weren't happening. But I still don't see what it has to do with me.
It has to do with you because you're the ruler of the kingdom!
Sienna's voice raised a few octaves as she stared hard at the reluctant princess.
Who else is going to solve these problems? Rachel, we're specifically here to help you, and you don't seem the least bit grateful for that. We've traveled a very long distance to come here, and I apologize, but I suppose I'm just a tiny bit frustrated how you don't seem to care. I do believe in the prophecy, but I don't care at all if you marry us right now, or hell, maybe even never. What I do know is your kingdom needs your help, and you seem to have a lovely space up here in your tower where you get to eat cookies all day. But there are children suffering right now.
Damn, Sienna, I muttered. You go, girl. My blonde wife reached out and squeezed my hand so hard it hurt, and I could tell she was really pissed off.
Fine. The children do concern me.
Rachel sighed and averted her gaze.
But I was serious when I said I wanted to abdicate the throne. Being around so many people was always exhausting for me, and it probably sounds ridiculous, but I didn't even want their admiration after a point. And yes, fine, my marriage was terrible, and that didn't help matters any. I don't even know where he ended up, to be honest, and I'm not sure how to take care of things like royal matters or how to save children anymore. If you want to take over my kingdom, be my guest. I'm way more suited to being myself, and...
And not having to worry about anything?
Jessamine finished, and her lips were pursed into a severe frown.
Rachel, have you heard of Chernobog?
Yes, another name in a book I've read,
the golden-haired princess replied, and she waved her hand dismissively before it moved back to stroke her shoulder again.
Just more fairy tales as far as I'm concerned.
I'm sorry for sounding angry before.
Sienna sighed, and she leaned back on the couch and looked up at the ceiling.
But, Princess Rachel, what I don't think you understand is that Fairyland is at war right now. Chernobog is very real, and we're working our hardest to save the world as a whole, so I really wish you would join us. If you want to know what you can do about the children, you can come along with us when we fight Gertha. Because if she's behind this, and she has anything to do with Chernobog, that's what's ultimately going to happen.
Rachel sat there looking speechless for a moment, and then she stood up and silently cleared all the dishes from the table. She brought them over to a small kitchen area off to the side of the circular room, and then she stared at the wall for a few long moments before she walked back over to us and sat down on the couch with a serious expression.
I have to tell you, my first instinct is to kick you out of my tower entirely and tell you to never come back,
the golden-haired princess began, and she looked at each one of us in turn.
But I suppose that wouldn't really be fair, when you're trying to take care of problems for me. And I don't want children to suffer, of course. It seems I have a lot to think about, but I can't give you an answer right at the moment. I'm not going to send you out into the storm again, and you can spend the night here. But I just can't say yes to you. Not yet, anyway. Now, can I make you some dinner?
Thank you, Rachel.
Sienna looked deep into the other princess's bright green eyes.
That's all I wanted to hear, that you would think about it. And yes, I'm starving. Can I help you in the kitchen?
I blinked in surprise at the offer, but then I remembered Sienna's stepmother had forced her to work as a cook and a maid for many years.
Of course, Sienna, I'd love your help.
Rachel actually smiled warmly, and then the two blondes got up from their seats and headed over to the stove. Once they were out of earshot, I glanced over at Ariana and Jessamine, who both looked slightly dazed. Wow, I mouthed to my wives. That was intense.
It sounds like Sienna might have actually convinced her,
Ariana said under her breath.
I wasn't expecting that to happen at all.
And I'm going to get her to marry us,
Jessamine whispered with a mischievous smile on her face.
Don't worry, Joe. She's pretty sexy, right? Don't you like a feisty woman?
I wouldn't have married you if I didn't, I said with a grin. And then I leaned back on the couch and looked up at the domed ceiling. I adore you, but you princesses can be a lot to handle sometimes.
Joe!
Jessamine poked me in the side.
We are not.
I glanced back at my dark-haired wife, and she blushed.
Fine.
She pouted.
Maybe we are. Just a little bit.
I'm not,
Ariana said, and she batted her eyelashes at me.
I always have control of myself.
Oh, not in the bedroom, I snickered. And I heard you telling off Eudora and Morgar, for that matter. Ariana, don't deny how badass you are.
Okay, who wants to eat?
Sienna walked over with a platter that held a chicken roasted to perfection. I had no idea how the two princesses managed to cook a chicken so fast, and I wondered if it had something to do with my blonde wife's time magic.
Yum, that looks delicious,
Jessamine replied, and I could tell her mouth was practically watering at the sight. Rachel came over next with a bowl of mashed potatoes and a big salad that looked like it was full of fresh herbs, probably from the surrounding forest. The two princesses set the dishes down on the table, and then they sat next to each other on the couch facing the rest of us. It seemed the women had made peace with one another, and I thought back to when we'd first met Sienna and how independent she'd been following her bad marriage. It seemed like the two blondes had quite a bit in common, and I wondered if they were actually getting to be friends. So were those the herbs you were collecting earlier? I asked as I pointed at the salad.
No, those are different,
Rachel replied, and then she got up again.
Darn, I forgot the wine.
The golden blonde princess retrieved a large bottle of red wine and five glasses, and she opened it with an expert hand and poured some into each glass. What should we toast to? I raised my glass into the air.
To new friends,
Jessamine called out, and I saw a reluctant smile spread across Rachel's face.
To new friends,
the freckled princess repeated, and we all clinked glasses. The chicken was just moist enough with crispy skin and juicy meat, and the potatoes were creamy, peppery, and seasoned perfectly, unlike the other food we'd had in the kingdom. The different herbs in the salad were at least interesting, and I totally cleared my plate in minutes.
So, where do you get your food, Rachel?
Jessamine asked, and she popped one last bite of chicken into her mouth before setting her empty plate back down onto the table.
I do travel to villages from time to time, though I make sure no one recognizes me. Don't you ever disguise yourselves?
The golden blonde princess wondered, and I noticed her freckled cheeks had grown rosy from the wine. Then she leaned back on the couch, stretched out her legs, and actually giggled.
Here I go, telling all my secrets.
We do that too,
Jessamine told her with a big smile on her face.
See, we have so much in common.
Of course we do,
Rachel responded, but her smile was more closed off again.
So, we have to figure out where you're going to sleep tonight. I only have one bed, of course, but we can move this table out of the way. A couple of you could sleep on the couches, and the rest could sleep on the floor with my extra bedding.
That sounds wonderful, I assured her. But I had to ask a question, because I didn't want a crazy woman to murder us in our sleep. Although, Rachel, I just need to know one thing. Who, or what, is Pablo?
Oh!
Rachel squeaked, and she looked down at her shoulder again.
You don't see him? He's very good at hiding because he's a chameleon.
I squinted at the shoulder of her pale purple dress, and I finally saw the outline of a lizard there. There were times in the past I might have thought a woman was a little strange for carrying around a lizard on her shoulder, but I'd already seen how attached the other princesses were to their pets. A chameleon, of course, I sighed. Well, in any case, when it comes to the beds, we're very adaptable. I'd be happy to sleep on the floor, of course.
The ground sounds fine to me, too.
Jessamine chimed in, and I could tell the dark-haired princess was a little tipsy.
In fact, we slept in a barn the other night on my carpet, and we even... Jessamine, that's enough!
Sienna poked her sister wife in the ribs.
I'm sure Rachel doesn't want to hear all about that.
The freckled princess just flashed us a mysterious smile, and I wondered how much she understood about their conversation. We took a few minutes to set up our beds for the night, and soon we'd all settled into the comfortable blankets and pillows Rachel had provided. As I laid on a thick quilt on top of the rug, I thought it was almost as comfortable as the magic carpet. Then I heard the golden-haired princess bustling around the room and tidying up from dinner, and I was impressed at the way she'd chosen to live with no servants. I finally heard Rachel get into her bed and sigh as she settled down onto the mattress. The princess had extinguished the fireplace and the room was almost completely dark, other than the moon shining off the snow outside. I tried to sleep, but I kept tossing and turning. I had to admit I couldn't stop thinking about Rachel sleeping in her bed just a few feet away. And I stared up at the ceiling and tried to slow my breathing to match Ariana's, who'd fallen asleep on the couch to my left-hand side. Jessamine's breath was slow and even on the other couch, and I assumed Sienna, who'd laid down on the floor next to me, was asleep too. But that was until I felt a poke in my ribs.
"Joe, what are you doing?"
my blonde wife whispered. "Just lying here," I laughed quietly, and I turned over to face her.
"What do you think would happen if..." "Never mind, it's too bad,"
Sienna giggled softly. "What's too bad?" I asked. But I thought I knew, and a huge grin spread across my face.
"I was just thinking. I was thinking about what would happen if we fucked here, just me and you, really quietly, of course."
The blonde leaned up on her elbow, and her long hair spilled down over her shoulders, and I saw she had already started to unbutton her dress. Her perfect full breasts glowed in the moonlight, and I gasped when I saw her engorged raspberry red nipples. There was no way I was going to refuse my wife's offer.